He was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature, verse 4, and he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Verse 5, then Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, today I must stay at your house. And now Jesus, you know, knows things, and especially knows the hearts of people. And of all these people, he calls Zacchaeus to himself. He knows something that nobody else knows in the story now. Verse 6, he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when he saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he is gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. So the people saw Zacchaeus as a real sinner, being chief of tax collectors. And why would he do that? Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord. Zacchaeus stops everything. When they accuse him of being a sinner, Zacchaeus thought, we've got to make this straightened out. Verse 8, Luke 19:8. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. We're talking about doing your brother wrong. He recognized immediately what the question was. As a tax collector and their reputation, if he sinned against his brother any, well, number one, and he's making clear to Jesus what his attitude is, that I'll give half of what I got to the poor. I mean, I'm not a greedy person. I mean, I'm rich, but it doesn't mean that much to me. But secondly, at the end of verse 8, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give back four times as much. He's not going to give back 120%. He's going to give back 400%. Now, what does that say about his heart? I mean, and he don't think he's done anybody wrong out here. He's pretty confident in it that he's been trying to treat his brothers and sisters rightly. But we're talking about the trespass offering that's been drilled into them all these hundreds of years. He understands that's the issue here. And he's talking to Jesus because he wants fellowship with Jesus. If you're offering your trespass offering, you're saying you want fellowship with God by offering that animal. And then you're going to pay what needs to be paid. He will go way beyond that if there's any question. So why did Jesus call him that? Because Jesus knew his heart. Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. Abraham's a friend of God. Boy, these guys are alike. I mean, about being honest, about trying to do the right thing, especially when the issue comes up, you know. So that's who Jesus is looking for, the people of pure heart, you know. And verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And here's a person that wants fellowship with God. So that's who's going to end up saved here. Any thoughts?
Jesus, knowing all the issues, knew this question was going to be asked. He knew that Zacchaeus was the type of person he was.
Yeah.
And when, you know, evidently he also knew that Zacchaeus was being honest.
Yeah. Remember Nathaniel under the tree and he's praying and the Lord says, I sorry seen you. I knew what was in your heart. Or the woman at the well. Remember, he asked her to go get her husband because he knows there's a problem there. Yeah. And so the Lord knows our hearts. And I don't know if I get there tonight in the burnt offering, but that's going to come home real clear about what the Lord wants there. And go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. We're just using a couple of New Testament illustrations of the trespass offering where you've done your brother wrong. And you see this has great meaning to them in the first century because that's been their whole history. So you get to the book of Hebrews where they're about to, the city is about to be destroyed. All of this should have great meaning as he alludes to that all through that old Hebrew book. Matthew 5:23, if therefore you're presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. You fix and offer God something, but whoa, whoa, whoa. You know you've wronged your brother. And there's a problem here with God because your brother and God's one. 24, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Yeah, when you're offering your trespass offering, it's saying you want fellowship with God. You've made things right. You want to make it right with God now. It's already cost you 120%. Now the animal is saying, I want forgiveness from God. Any thoughts here?
Okay, let's see if I understand.
Okay.
This man, are you saying that there in verse 23,
mm-hmm.
that he is bringing a trespass offering already?
No.
No.
Okay. He's just presenting an offering. Okay. It could be it wouldn't be a trespass offering. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just saying, we're talking about if you're going to come into fellowship with God and you're coming with an offering, the offering's not going to be acceptable if you have a problem with your brother.
He is obviously, this person is obviously thinking about, okay, now I'm going to offer this offering, and these things are going through his mind about.
And you're coming, you're God centered at that moment, what? So what's your conscience going to tell you? Well, what's the solution, 24?
Just leave it there.
Yeah, leave the offering there. I'll accept it. You go make it right. Come back and what? I'll accept it. I'm not going to accept it as long as it's your fault and you've done your brother wrong. You know, 1 John, that's one of the tests, love of the brethren. You know, it's the same idea. You can't do your brother wrong without doing God wrong. And so, any other thoughts there? Well, let's go to the Old Testament here. Let's go to Exodus 29, verse 38. And we'll start the burnt offering. Exodus 29, 38. And the purpose of the system is that God wants fellowship with man. And it should be a cherished relationship. The sin offering, the trespass offering, they both were costly. I mean, you had to pay a price to have fellowship with God to get out of that problem, what we're talking about here, that you had to offer it. But when you get to the burnt offering, now it's the purest and it's the most comprehensive offering of them all, form of worship. It's not for fellowship. It's not because you've done wrong. It is a gift to God with great meaning. It has two parts to it. The burnt offering in regard to the nation, and then the burnt offering in regard to the individual. There were ways to express things to God in this system. Exodus 29:38. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 one-year lambs each day continuously. So for the nation. I want 2 lambs. They need to be 1 year old. We'll offer them. You need to keep this thing going. Verse 39. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And so one in the morning, one in the evening. You need some other things with it, some grain offering and other things like that. Verse 41, it needs flour and oil. 41, the other lamb you shall offer at twilight and shall offer with it the same grain offering as the morning, then the same libation for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. So it's an offering to God, but it's a soothing aroma. As the smoke goes up, it's a good thing. It's telling the worshiper that it's acceptable. This is soothing. This isn't bad. This is good. 42, it shall be a continually burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. So here's the place where God meets with Israel. Remember that it's a distance relationship here. I mean, that God will meet them there, but they need to keep that fire going continually. In the morning you offer one, the evening you offer one. What if you let the fire go out? What if you don't bother to offer? What does that say about your attitude about, this is where I'm going to meet with you? You don't care? I mean, this is what this is saying, and by them doing their part, it's a sign of their attitude, and the priest will do that. 43, and I'll meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. What makes it holy is that I'm there. Remember Moses in the burning bush? What did he tell him? Take off his sandals. Why? It's a bush in the middle of the desert. But because what? It's holy ground because God's meeting him there. Well, this was what the sign of the continual burnt offering was about. That, how do you know? But you offering it and you trust in my word, what? This is where we'll meet. You let it go out, and I assume you don't want me to be there anymore. 44. And I'll concentrate. It also is consecrated. It's made holy by His presence. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know you're a temple of God? That's what He's saying. Because the Holy Spirit's in us that consecrates us as holy. All of this will come home more later. Verse 45. And I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. So He's making this commitment, this conviction. Go to Leviticus chapter 6. Next book over. A couple of verses. Leviticus 6 verse 9. Command Aaron his son, saying, this is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain on the hearth of on the altar all night until the morning, and the fire on the altar is to be kept burning on it. So we want to keep this thing burning. Don't let it go out. 13. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. You know, so God's making it clear that you offer this offering, you're offering two offerings a day, but we don't want the fire going out. Any thoughts? Look at chapter 1, verse 3. And we're talking about the individual now. And here's the steps taking. Chapter 1, verse 3, the first thing you have to do is present your animal. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting that he may be accepted before the Lord. No animal, no acceptance by God. You need to come to the door. This is where we're going to meet. And you bring your animal. You're going to make this presentation there. Verse 4, laying on the hands. And he shall say, he shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. And part of this is, there's always sin involved. This is not a sin offering, but the animal's going to die. And blood's going to be sprinkled. So the animal is being accepted in your place. You know, and so we still got to make atonement here because there is still a sin problem. Verse 5, you got to kill the animal, first part. And he shall slay the young bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priest, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So the animal is killed and the blood is sprinkled. Verse 6 through 9. He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priest, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the soot, over the wood, which is on the fire that's on the altar. Verse 9. Its entrails, however, and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Remember the sin offering? What happened to the body? It's carried outside the camp because it's defiled. It's a sin offering. In verse 9, what happens to the body here? That's the difference. All of it goes up in smoke to God. You're saying when you're laying on the hands that you're one with the animal. This is my offering to God. I'm trying to express something to God. And so I'm giving everything to God. That animal and me are one. It's coming in my place. And so you're trying to express to God how much you think of Him. And that you're giving it the all to Him. So the question comes up, is this person perfect who's making the offering? No. He's imperfect, you know. You and me, when we approach God, are we perfect? See, we get to worry because if we're not perfect, then we can't have fellowship with God. Well, this person is, by making the offering, what? It's symbolizing the desire to give all to God. God's looking at what? Heart. Yes. And that's why you're there. It costs you an animal. But you're there to show God that you're giving all to God. And so, First Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. You know, Paul is talking about his service to the Lord, and the Corinthians are judging him as unfaithful, you know, his service to God. Verse 1, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. So, it's obvious they're stewards. They've got responsibilities. And then secondly, it's obvious that you're responsible if you're the steward. Verse 3. But to me, it's a very small thing that I should be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. So, he's serving the Lord, offering the Lord what he can offer. What does he say in verse 3? It's coming to the question whether or not, you know, he's being faithful in his stewardship.
It's up to God to make the decision.
Yeah, it's not up to him. But to me, it's a very small thing, and I should be examined by you. Their quote in it doesn't have a whole lot to do with it, because who's he serving? When you're offering the animal, who are you offering it to? To God. And the animal is what's this bridge in the gap. And you can see Jesus as a lamb without blemish is a perfect sacrifice there. Secondly, in verse 3, or by any human court. They don't have a say in the matter. In fact, I do not even examine myself. Could you be prejudiced toward yourself? If you're not right, would you be? Yeah, it's easy to justify things you haven't done or should have done. So he doesn't have the last say in this either. He's just trying to offer the Lord his whatever abilities he has here. Verse 4, I am conscious of nothing against myself. Yet I'm not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. So he don't know that he's come short in this. I mean, he's sacrificed and sacrificed, traveling all over their world, trying to start new churches. And he doesn't know of anything, but what? That doesn't make him okay. We're talking about service here. We're not talking about sinfulness. Then he says at the end of it, the one who examines me is the Lord. The one who examines and continues to examine me is the Lord. I am aware of that always. I mean, so whatever he does, he's already, it encompasses his whole life.
I was thinking about David.
Mm-hmm.
Given the service, he thinks, as far as he knows, there's nothing going on. That I mean, he hasn't fallen short. He's followed what God wanted. But when it comes to the sinfulness, he knows that that's been taken care of.
Yeah. And that's the point here. And if you're going to be in Hebrews and you're going to leave this system, or you got to go back to lean on the animal. I mean, when you offered the sin offering, what? It was taking your place. It was dying innocently so you could still have fellowship with God. Well, this animal here in the burnt offering dies. There's still this element of, there's this problem out here. But I'm going to accept this. We burn it all. It goes up as a soothing aroma. Everything's fine. It's not a sin offering. You haven't done your brother wrong. Those are not reasons why you're here. You're here to express to me you're trying to give all to God. And it's by the expression of offering this animal. Well, one more verse here and I'll go somewhere else. Verse 5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment for the time. You need to quit judging me. You need to quit sinning, is what he's saying. The time's coming when this is going to be settled. I'm trying to wholeheartedly serve the Lord. Continuing on, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. What does he know about himself and if you get a reward or not? What does he know in the second half of verse 5? If he doesn't have what? Anything hidden in the darkness. He hadn't been doing sinful things. If he's been doing sinful things the whole time, what? We can forget discussing a reward. We want to know why you're not here with a sin offering. You know, why are you staying in sin when you have a way out? And secondly, what the motives? Why were you doing it the whole time? Was it for you? Was it for glory? Or was it for God? So we're talking about giving yourself wholehearted to God here. And knowing He examines you, and knowing that until you get to the end, you want to be praiseworthy. So knowing that the Lord looks at you all the time, and that's whom you're serving, there is this total connection between you and Him. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about the animals taking the place to solve that. Christ has definitely solved the sin problem. And so being honest of heart, knowing that down the road, I have to be praiseworthy. So I have to be watching my motives, and I have to make sure I'm doing sinful things and still not being honest about it. So wholeheartedly is what we're talking about. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It's talking about the same thing. And you'll see these same thoughts in the New Testament about like the burnt offering and the holy giving it to the Lord. In Romans 12, 1, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, what kind of offerings are you asking this? I mean, and what's the motivation in verse 1?
By the mercies of what God has done for you.
Yes. Yeah, that's the motivation of all Christianity. You can use guilt as a motivation, but they're not doing it for the right reasons. The motives are wrong. It's not out of love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If you don't do it out of love, it profits you nothing and you're nothing. You have to do it from the right motives. If you give 2 cents and that's all you got, whoa, Lord's jumping up and down. It's still good. And so only you can determine service, how much service is required of you. Nobody else. That's what 1 Corinthians 4 was about. But by the mercies of God, He urges them, since you have the mercy of God, what does He urge them to do? What word pops out? Present your bodies. As a Christian, you're baptized for forgiveness of sins. What are you going to offer the Lord to show that you're totally dedicated to Him? This is the burnt offering is what we're talking about. What else can you offer? Just myself. If you're a new Christian, you've been a bad person. What do you have to offer Him but just yourself? In the condition you're in, and you're going to grow and improve, but what? You're making this one-time offering. You're presenting the animal to the Lord. You're not taking that animal back home today. You're going to give it as a burnt offering. You're going to take it back home and eat it? No, you're not. It's all going to be burnt and go up to the Lord. So, as a living and holy sacrifice, the animal in the Old Testament system dies and is consumed by the fire. You and I continue to live, and so He's asking us to be holy. Now, how does He view that? Here you are with an animal, and you know you're not perfect, but there's no outstanding sins that you're aware of, and you want to show God your thankfulness for forgiveness in the past, and you bring an animal and you present it to God. Yeah. What? They burn it and what? That smoke goes up a soothing aroma. This is acceptable. This is acceptable. What else could you do? You know, I'll give you 6 months service, Lord. We'll call that wonderful. Yeah. That's something among the motives. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And so that's what the Lord wants. The point is, it's a burnt offering by giving all. It's an attitude of heart. And now you can be used in this physical world. What do you think?
That God is prepared. The work God is prepared.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a great one.
That is
not worship. Yes. Everything you do, we come together as a corporate group to worship together, but everything you do is what? Is a burnt offering. Is an expression of what you thank God. We get mistakes and we say, I haven't done enough. What you're doing, an act of kindness, is what? Part of your service, part of your offering to God. You're not literally saying, but that's why you're doing it, for Him, and you're doing good to others. Yeah.
The ability and the opportunity are things that,
yeah,
somebody might have ability, but they don't have opportunity.
Yes. It's First John.
Exactly.
This is Christianity. And it's all based where we're reflecting on it back here in the burnt offering. The priests don't get none of that offering. Normally they get it as their living, except sin offering. And so it all goes up to God. You knew that when you brought the animal. And God sees it. I'm going to say it cost you $50 back to Him. But you want God to know that you give it all. Well, then we're in the spiritual kingdom, so Romans 12:1 comes in. It's in your heart to God. But what else can I say for forgiveness? If you don't know you're forgiven, you don't have anything to offer God. You're trying to figure a way to get right with God, but more works, which can never solve the problem. And so you're trapped in this thing, and the church is bad about it. And so understand the Old Testament system gives you glimpses of we're going to make atonement with this one sacrifice, but more than that, we're going to move past atonement. And I'm going to show you, God, that I'm giving it all to you. Now, when he walks away, what kind of service are we going to expect out of this guy? Yeah. Whatever opportunities he has, what? He's going to do good. He's not going to do wrong if he can help it. Yeah. Well, that's what New Testament Christianity is all about in its biggest form is through this burnt offering thing. And it's acceptable to God. Yeah. It's your spiritual service of worship. Yeah. Any other thoughts? They're in there, but the sin offering is kind of it's not the main event.
Yeah.
It's reminding them that we have to keep the sin problem cleaned up here. Since Christ died for us and the whole world, and we come and see the Lord's Supper every week, we're reminded that part's been solved. Yeah. And that you're under a new covenant in His blood. We and you got a contract here. You know? You serve me and I'll bless you. I'll be your God. One more verse. Hebrews 13 real quick here. Talking about the same idea. Especially in Hebrews. Hebrews 13. 15-16. Hebrews 13:15. Through Him, through Jesus, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. So when we praise God, what? It's a sacrifice. It's an offering to God. We already got the sin offering settled. It's an offering. We're being thankful. You know, we're just giving the fruit of our lips to His name, verse 16. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Don't neglect it. Do good. Share. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with being useful and helpful, and God is pleased. Well, what about the number? It's of the heart, and like Bill pointed out, it's of the opportunity. Any thoughts?